Again, good morning. Every morning is good. It is a day ordained by God and start in a certain way, and we have to live that kind of life that pleases God, that exalts, that glorifies His holy name, that honor Him in whatever place we are or whatever work we do. We do for the Lord. We belong to Him. And knowing who He is, knowing what He has done for us, it is our time to realize that we are to be faithful to Him and faithful to His word until the day that the Lord Jesus Christ will come for us and then with us. It is an event that the church is waiting for. And, you know, I do believe with all my heart that He is coming soon. We should be ready at any moment. On the same time, if you want us to live another 50 years, 100 years here, message of the gospel, it is preached and more people will come to God. But it is very important for us to know that this word that we have, we read, and we trust in, it is the word of God. It is not coming from Peter or John. It is not coming from Paul. It is coming straight from the Lord. We are told in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that all scripture, it is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly finished, into all good work. This book, from the first page to the last one, it is inspired by God. It is God who spoke, and His people have put it down, and we have this whole book, the scriptures of the Old and of the New Testament. We said something at the previous hour regarding Paul the Apostle. We continue today to look in the book of Romans, and I will ask you to open the Bible at Romans chapter 5. We will talk something that for some may be difficult. The Bible is not difficult. It is given into us to be understood. And I have to keep in mind that Paul wrote this letter to a church where most of the people were slaves. They were not educated. They were not MD or doctored in theology or anything else. I was in a church one time, it's just a parenthesis. I was vacationing in Pennsylvania. I know the pastor and he's alive and well today, but at that time we didn't know each other. I never heard a sermon like that. In that sermon, he mentioned the fact that he's a doctor and if anyone got any problem, come to me. He mentioned at least 20, 25 times that expression in his sermon. And at the end, he was at the door shaking hands. When the people went out, and I shake hands with him too. And he realizes that I am new, and I was vacationing there. And he said, I am Dr. So-and-so. I look at him and I said, sir, I heard that. I heard it. I would have preferred to hear that expression with regard of the Lord Jesus Christ more than you told to the people that you are a doctor. Paul was a very educated man. And as we said before, he comes and he presents himself into us and he said, Paul, the servant, the slave of Christ, this is what we are. We are the servants of God. And Paul tells us that it was a time when God called him. And when God called him, he tells us that the way in which God called him, it was very interesting. He said that God had separated him. That means set him aside. Did you ever ask yourself when God separated him? When God put him aside. Let me read a verse for you, because it is very important for each and every one of us. in the book of Galatians, in chapter 1. What an important word do we have? I will read verses 14 and 15 that we have a full understanding. Galatians chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. And profited in the Jew of religion, he was very advanced compared with the others, above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my father. But something happened in his life and changed the course of his life. Look at what he says in verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, he called me in his grace. Do we really understand what he is saying here? He was called from his mother's womb. He was called when he was not. And if you will go a few pages further and you will find the book of Ephesians, you will make an application to your own life, to our own life. Look at what he says here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus and to the faithful in Jesus Christ. And then he is saluting them. And look at what he said in the fourth verse. According as he had chosen us, plural, himself and the people to whom he preached, according as he had chosen us in him, in Jesus, before the foundation of the world. Why? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Do we understand this scripture? Do you know when God had called you? Before the foundation of the world. This is what Paul is saying in Romans and Ephesians and in many others. He called you before the foundation of the world. Do you know what that means? We are not here because we really wanted to be here. We are here because at a certain time in our life we responded to a call. It was that probably a friend or a mother or a father or a preacher, you heard the message of the gospel and you say, oh, this is different than what I hear in the world. This is different than what I see on the TV. And you understood that God set you aside from before the foundation of the world. What a great God. You are Christian today in the light of the word of God. And this is something that not many people love it, but you do. You are Christian today because God had chosen you from before the foundation of the world. And he saved us in time. He had forgiven our sins. He had reconciled ourselves with God the Father through his death upon the cross of Calvary. And he is telling us now that we have a responsibility as well as he got a responsibility. It is your responsibility when you talk with a person. It is my responsibility when I talk with someone or I preach. It is the responsibility of your pastor, of your song leaders, of any one of us. And what was the reason for which Paul wrote to the believers in Rome? Look at what he says in verse 11 of chapter 1. For I long, I desire to see you, that I may impart into you some spiritual gift. Why? To the end that you may be established, fixed, unmovable. We heard the gospel. We believed it. And then we come to the church and we read the word. Why do you read the word? Why do we come to the church? It is through the word that God, it is establishing you, is making you strong in faith. It gives you faith to be faithful in perilous time, in the days in which you live today. We give thanks to the Lord for this country. I do. And I love this country. The way that is going is not the right one. And I tell you what, we are guilty of this. We became very comfortable in our comfort, in our riches that are here. You never have to stay in line for a bread, for a piece of food. You don't know what that it is. And we let the things to go like that. But the enemy that we are facing every day did not like us. And little by little, he built it up, his own platform. And there are voices that is calling us to certain things that we were never used to. Coming to the church, having fellowship, praying, reading the word, meditating upon it. It is in order that you may be established. Ye may come that in his grace, God will permit us to go through a difficult time. Even in that difficult time, we are called to remain faithful. God wants you to be established, unmovable. The foundation was laid. We have to build up. We have to be faithful to him in good time and in bad time. I was yesterday and I visited a sister of ours in the hospital. She is 97 years old. A good lady. She fell in the house, she broke her hip, and they made a surgery, and she's doing well. With her in the room, it was another lady, an Indian lady. And I was talking with Mary about her faith. And Debbie listened very carefully. And when I finished, I prayed. And after I prayed, he looked at me and he said, "Can you come to repeating to me everything that you told her and doing to me what you did into her?" And we had a good time. We sat down, we talked, and he said, "Do you know something? I always believed in God. I was not very used to this term, Jesus Christ. I heard it. And I believe what you said." And I said, "Ma'am, I just said what the word is saying. The Bible. You have a Bible. I don't have. When I will come back, I will give you one. That will be today when I go to see Mary again." You need to be established. We live in perilous days. More than any other time. In America, the people that are around us, they have to see our Christianity. Not that we just come to the church, we put our tie and our suit and we go. No, no, no. I have to live daily in the light of the teaching of the Word of God. Well, with that in mind, let me ask you something. What it is the most important verse in the Bible? You know, the whole Bible is important. It is inspired of God. But most of the people will say John 3:16. And it is true, it's an important verse. I want to tell you something a little different today. To me, the most important verse in the Bible is the 12th verse from Romans chapter 5. And the most important chapter in the Bible, it is Romans 5. Paul the Apostle tells us that what he put it down, what he taught, what he preached, it is not from men. He said, "I received it from Christ." This is the word of God. This is the word of Jesus Christ. That being the case, today we will go over a few verses from chapter 5 of Romans. And of course, we will try most of the time to clear up verse 12. But we have to use the other verses. I will try to expose this verse into you. Open the Bible, please, to Romans chapter 5. Let's read from verse 12 to verse 18. And after that, we will try to go to everything until verse 21. And here is the word of the Lord, Romans 5:12. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin it is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so is also with the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, had abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so it is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift, it is of many offenses into justification. We will stop here for now. One more time, verse 12. Wherefore, always when you read the word of God and you find some expression like this, just stop and ask yourself, why Paul used this word? It is wherefore, or therefore. That means before he tells us these words, he was saying something else in the verses that are above. So, in the verses that are above, we have something else. And based on what he said it before, he is coming now and he said, wherefore, or therefore. Always when you will read in the Bible a word like this, therefore, or wherefore, go and read some other verses above, that you may have the whole context to have a good understanding of the word of God. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I have a King James Version Bible. What do you read here? Pretty much the same. It is something that is not really put it here as it's supposed to be. It is one word here in this verse that it is different in original. Those of you that have an authorized Bible, you will figure it out. Let's read verse 10 to see it. For if when we were enemies, verse 10 from chapter 5, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. It's a little word here. By. In the original, it is not by. It is in. Look at what he said. So much more being reconciled, we shall be saved in his life. Not by his life. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by his death. We are today, and we enjoy the reconciliation that began then due to his life, in his life. What Paul is saying, he said, God is dealing with two men. The first Adam and the second Adam. The first Adam, the one that God formed, perfect, and placed him in the paradise, in the Garden of Eden. And the second one, Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ, the anointed of God. So, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Now, if through his death upon the cross of Calvary, we will come a few minutes later to this expression again. If through his death we were reconciled with God the Father, Paul is coming now and says, saying, how much more we can enjoy now, knowing that we are reconciled, no longer enmity between me and God, how much more then I would praise God, I will be faithful to him, I will glorify his holy name because of his life, in his life. What God has done when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, we read about him that he was man, like each and every one of us, with one difference. He had no sin, no whatsoever. And if that is the case, the death of Christ on the cross of Calvary is a miracle. Very hard to explain. Because we will come now to the 12th verse, and look at what it says here. Wherefore, because you're reconciled with God, and you enjoy today due to his life in you, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And here we have a little problem too. The word that ends verse 12, have sinned, is not in original. Sinned it is. Have it is not. It is the same word from verse 10. And Paul here, it is explaining what he meant then. It says here that all sinned. There is no have. How did that come? Are we guilty because we have committed sin? Yes. Why we sin? And we come very easily now. We are pastors, we are elders in the church, and we know. Well, we sin because we came from Adam lions, and when we were born with a sinful nature. And that it is true. We came in the world with a bias. Adam, it was perfect. God looked at the whole creation and he says it's good. No problem. There was no sin. Not in the world, not in Adam. Later on, God saw that Adam is alone and is not too good to be alone, and he made for him a good helper. Eve, the capodopera of God, a jewel of God. At that point, the world didn't know sin. Even though the world was formed only by two people, Adam and Eve. All of the world today and those that were before us came from those two people, from Adam and Eve. And Adam sinned. God told him, listen, you have freedom to eat from all the trees. Mark that tree in the middle of the garden. Don't eat. If you would eat, you will die. We know that Adam ate. When he ate, he died. On the spot. He died from the spiritual point of view. Here, in verse 12, the reference is not with regard to our spiritual death. It is with regard with our physical death. And that's why in the original it says, death passed upon all men, for that all sinned. We have here, with the word have, it means that we sinned because we inherited a sinful nature. But here, it's true, we inherited a sinful nature. That did not make us sinful. Made us sinners. But not sinful. It's a difference in that. And it says here that for all sinned. When did we sin? We understand that we sinned. We were born, we lived, we loved sin, and we committed sin. We all came out from that world. But here it says that all have sinned. We can understand how we sin because we are of a certain age. But there we have a class of people for which we cannot accuse any one of them that they are sinners. Infant children. So that baby there, he is infant. He is not guilty of his own sin. And yet a miracle happened. If they are not guilty of their own sin, they should not die. But the Bible says that death passed upon all. And the young people, the mid-aged people, the old people are dying. Why do they die? Because of sin. When sin enters in, death enters in. And the word that it's used here for enter, it's a very strong one. In fact, in Greek, it says that sin invaded the world. It came in. it looked like Paul is personifying the sin. It came in like a thief come overnight and breaks in the house. So, we understand our sin. And that's why we repent and we are here today by God's grace. Amen. But we have no explanation for the sin of the children. And yet, the doctors is telling us that once the children are born, they are old enough to die. The death began right away. Why do they die? Not because they were born with a sinful nature. We all came in the world with a sinful nature. For them, it's not that problem. And yet they died. That means if death, it came in through sin, the problem of sin is much deeper than our sinful nature. They should not be punished with death because of their sinful nature. That's why when we go and it happens that a child dies, we make clear from the Word of God that they are going to be with the Lord. And we have indication in the Scripture for that plenty. What happened? It means that sin penetrated so deep when it was committed, penetrated so deep in Adam that Adam being the representative of humanity, we all sinned in him. When Adam sinned, I sinned. We all have sinned in him. And this is what Paul is saying here. Let's read one more time, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered, sin invaded by the offense of one man, sin entered into the world. Did you thought a little bit more about that thing, what happened? Here we have the roots of the doctrine of original sin. There was no sin in the world when God created. Sin invaded. And because of that, we are told here that sin invaded the world. And what happened? We have here the teaching of the universality of sin. Every human being that came and lived on the face of the earth from Adam on, with one and one only exception, it is born with sin and sinner later on through his own sins. The only one that was born as a man without sinful nature, without sin, it is Jesus of Nazareth. He is conceived by the Holy Spirit. And yet, we will come there. Jesus died. How? Very hard to say. But we will go there. What we have in this expression, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, this is the universality of sin. There are people today who are saying, no, it's no sin, that's a figure of speech. It is not, because there was no death before sin came in. Now, let's go to the second statement here. We got three major doctrines here. And the death by sin passed upon all men. Here we have near the universality of sin, the universality of death. All men. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Day is ordained for man to live once, and then death. Death is coming. The sin that invaded brought in death. As a result of that, death, it is universal too. And we became so useful to this because we know we are born, we live, and someday we'll die. By God's grace, there it is a group of people, and I think we are very close to that time, that will avoid death. We shall go to meet the Lord just being translated, changed, when the rapture takes place. And I believe it will be soon. And that will be much better for everyone. But if not, we have to go and to face your reality. So we have the universality of sin, and we have the universality of death. And why? Because all sinned. We sinned in Adam. When he sinned, we were there. How do I know that? That's what the Bible says. Do I understand that? Do you understand that? I don't. But I believe it because it is in the Word of God. I don't believe it because I understood that. I believe it because it is in the Word of God. And this is what the Bible teaches. It says, nevertheless, death that spread upon all men reigned. Do you see that? Because somehow the sin appeared to be personified, he entered, and he does whatever he wants to do, and he brought death. And then death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that sin not after the similitude of Adam's transgressions. Who are those? The little ones. They are not guilty of their own sin until they come to the age to make a very clear distinction between right and wrong. And this is what the Bible teaches. All have sinned. All are sinners. But there are some that are guilty of that, yet not after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who was a figure of him that was to come. Who was to come? Jesus Christ. How Jesus Christ could be a figure of Adam? As sin invaded the world, and through sin, death came in, and it passed upon each and every one. Because of the sin that Adam did, and we were in. That means when he sinned, I sinned. And I am guilty of that sin. And look at what we are told here. Verse 16, we will jump here, but we come back. And not as it was by one that sinned, so it is the gift for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift of many offenses. Before that and after this one, you will read about one offense. One sin. You can see what one man can do. What a disaster a single man brought upon the entire world. But those who sin are guilty now of many sins. I am guilty of many sins. We committed many sins. And yet, God, who permitted sin to invade, to enter, God, it says here, did something. God made known his grace, and through his grace he justified all of those that come and believe in him. It was the sin and death that came to one man. And it is the justification and forgiveness of sin and the gift of eternal life that came to the second Adam through the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and by faith alone. And this is what Paul is saying here. As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The death of Christ. It is such a profound thing that is very hard for us to take it. Now we know we die, and we die because of sin. And there are infants that for certain reason sometimes died because they are guilty of the sin they were in Adam when he sinned. I was to a hospital for the cancer, Columbia Presbyterian. I was there, and I asked the doctor, where did cancer come in? And he said, I don't know. but come with me. He took me in a room where about 60 beds. Not a single patient in that room was older than 2 years old. It breaks your heart. And he said, do you see this? Yeah. We have no explanation for it. But we do. Those children, they will not die because they are guilty of their committed sin. They were in Adam when Adam sinned. That doesn't make them sinful. Not at all. But nevertheless, death came because of sin. They are not guilty of their sin. They go to be with the Lord. But this is what they think it is. Now, it was something to be done there. We were clothed with sin, and there it is the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And he came, he lived among us, like one of us, but without sin. And at a certain time, it says at the fullness of time, when the time came, Jesus Christ went to the cross. Before they hanged him on the cross, before they nailed him on the cross, he went through a horrible process. He suffered as no one man, and all of us together never suffered. He had no sin. They were beating him, spitting him, pulling off his skin, his hair, and much more. He couldn't die. He just wouldn't die. Why? He had no sin. He was not the seed of David. He was in the flesh, but his flesh, it was coming from above, from God. And in his body, there was no sin. His blood was not infected, was not polluted by sin. And if there was no sin, it doesn't matter how we'll put it, he could not die. The death came in as a result of sin. How Jesus Christ died? How it was possible? Who killed Jesus Christ? Pilate? Pilate judged him. The soldier that scourged him? They did. They were so cruel. He didn't die. When it comes to our salvation, we don't owe our salvation to Pilate or to the Jewish Sanhedrin. We owe our salvation to God and to God alone. That it is a part of the gospel of God. And that it is what Paul came. Then how Jesus Christ died? Well, he made it very clear. No one can take my life from me. They could have scourged him another week. He would not die. But in the time that it was ordained by God, from before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ, we read in the Bible, that he offered his life. I have power to give up my life, and I have power to take it back. Amen. He died because he offered his life. That it is the love of God. He was saying, I love you that much that I offer my life as a price for your sin. And God alone took our sin, the sin of the whole world, and placed them upon Christ. And he took the righteousness of Christ and put it upon us. Amen. You are dressed in the righteousness of Christ. That's the reason for which we call God Father. That it is the gospel of God that Paul came to preach. This is the teaching of the Bible. God had saved us. God had forgiven us. As much as important the forgiveness it is, keep in mind, we are not saved because we came to him. He came to us. And he didn't stop just to come to us. The miracles of all miracles happens when Jesus Christ told to his disciples. It's probably the most deepest words in the Bible. I in you and you in me. When God clothed us in his righteousness, he looked at us and he said, you look good, but I want to do something more for you. What do you want to do more for that? And God said, do you know something? You still live in the world. I will put you in my son, in Christ. And Jesus said, well, you are in me now, but I want you to know one thing. I want more for you. I will be in you. I am in him, and he is in me. You know what Paul said? I live, but it's not me that lives. It's Christ in me. That's why we live. And we are called here to proclaim this blessed message of God. That there it is salvation. There it is forgiveness. There it is eternal life. And all these things, why did God do them? You know what the Bible says? For the glory of God. And because God, it is glorious. He said that day it will come a day when he shall glorify us. That is the final stage of our salvation. And this is what it is, the heart of the Bible. It's verse 12 from Romans chapter 5. And here we have this doctrine of the universality of sin, the universality of death, and then it is described what God did for us. We are not saved because we are good. We are not saved because we come to the church. We are not saved because we did good work. We are saved because God had justified us. When did God justify me and you? When God justified you? When we were ungodly. We were not Christians when he justified us. We were ungodly. But he saved us in time. And because we are justified, it says here in the first verse, therefore, because we are justified by faith, we have peace with God. We were in enmity with him. Now I am at peace with him. Being at peace with God, it means I can go to God. I can tell him everything. I go to God and I tell him, I just came to be with you. I take the word and I think about it. I meditate about it. I just came to know you better. I came because I love you. I came because I sinned and I want to confess my sin. And he said, say it. And if we confess our sin, you know, the Christian sins, we are not without sin. And even today we sin, but we sin as a son or a daughter into the family of God. Justified by the blood of Christ, by faith. And then, it says here, and then, because of that, we have to go and to confess. If we confess our sin, he is just. That's how he justified us. He is holy. And then he said, he will forgive us because he is faithful. He is faithful even when we are not faithful. The Bible is a blessed book. And our God, it is a great God. This is what the Bible says. Let me go to verse 18 here. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift of God came upon all men into justification of life. There is life and life eternal that each and every human being can enjoy. And that it is by faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that paid the price for our justification, for our salvation. And we should learn how to live daily for the sake and the glory of God the Father and of his Son, Jesus Christ. This is what the Bible teaches. We believe in a God that revealed himself into us under three distinct persons. God the Father, God the Son, and got the Holy Spirit. Paul the Apostle came to preach the gospel of God. And in the gospel of God, we see that God the Father initiated the process of our salvation and he completed. And God the Son offered himself to do the plan of God. This is in what it is called in the Bible, the covenant before the time. That it is in Titus chapter 1 verse 3. That means sometime in eternity past, there it was a discussion in the bosom of the Holy Trinity. And God the Father said, we will create, we will make a universe, and then we will make beings, angelic beings and human beings. The angelic beings and human beings brings in this danger. They may disobey. And if they disobey, it means they will sin. And if they sin, they will die. We have to do something. And that something must be done by one who shall become like them. A human being, for example, but without sin. And at that point, God the Son, Jesus Christ, offered, he said, I will do it. When you go home, read the book of Hebrews, chapter 7. Let me read a verse now. It is very important for us to realize that. Book of Hebrews. We're right here. All right. I was wrong. It's chapter 10. This is another proof that we are not perfect yet. It's chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 5. Wherefore, again, I have to read the verses above too. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. To do on that. But a body thou hast prepared for me. Verse 7. Then said I, Jesus in eternity past, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I come to do thy will, O God. Verse 9. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will. Jesus Christ offered to come and to offer his life for our redemption, for our salvation. That it was in the will of God. He did not die at the hands of Pilate or the Roman soldiers. They will pay for what they have done. Only God initiated that and he permitted that. What God is that who can let his son or his daughter to suffer that much? You know what Jesus said, Dad? Let me go. I offered myself in eternity past. I didn't change my mind. I will go. And he came and he talked to his disciples. He told them, I will go and I'll give up my life. And they said, no, don't do that. That's why I came. And I cannot wait to fulfill it. He was eager to fulfill our salvation. Amen. Brothers and sisters, your salvation is free. It is not cheap. For our salvation, the highest price in the universe was paid. How was Jesus the Christ? The heaven of heavens cannot comprehend him now. He's God. He is from everlasting to everlasting. And being what he is, being not guilty of sin, he is willing, he is able to save all of those that are coming to him. The blood that flew in the veins of the Lord Jesus Christ was not like mine. I came into the world with a sinful nature. He was perfect. More than that, it says that he was holy, totally separated. And yet, he offered his own life for each and every one of us. Isn't time for us to stand up, to praise, to exalt, and to glorify the name of the Father? And to enjoy, as Paul is saying here, to enjoy in the hope of the glory of God. You know what John is saying in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1? He is writing to his beloved one, and he said, brothers, I want to tell you something. As of now, we are the children of God. And what we shall be, it did not appear yet. But I tell you one thing, we know one thing. When he shall come, we shall be like him. Why? Because we shall see him as he is. As of now, we cannot see him. On the road of Damascus, Paul saw some of the glory of Christ, and he got problems with his eyes all his life. We cannot see him now. We fall down. But when he shall come, we shall see him because we shall see him as he is. You know what that means? I shall be like him. Look at that. Look at yourself, how you are now. I look at myself. We have 18 grandchildren. And when one of them were about 3 to 4 years old, I got him in my arms and I took him in our bedrooms upstairs on the house. I was showing him the pictures that we have. And I said, this is your mom before marriage. This is your father. This is your Uncle Ben. This is your Uncle Danny. This is your Uncle Bogdan. This is your Aunt Christine, and so on. And then we arrived at the middle of the wall where it was me and my wife in the wedding day. Nicely dressed, young. And I told him, that's Buniku and Bunika. Buniku is a grandpa. And I told him, that's Buniku and Bunika. And he looked, he raised his forehead. He looked at that picture, he looked at me, and he said, no. That's what he said, it's not a joke. He said, no, he pointed his finger to me. This is Buniku, this is grandpa. And I said, Buniku, that's grandpa and grandma. No, this is Buniku. I have to take him downstairs. He looked around, and he saw my wife at the kitchen. That's my grandma. You know, the time, it's put his mark on us. But when Jesus Christ will come, I shall be just like him. Never will. That's the glory of the gospel. That it is what God had called us. To enjoy eternity because we shall be with him and like him. Do you have this hope in yourself? What do you have to do for that? For now, to take the first step, you just have to say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I come to you. I want to follow you. I want to trust in you. I don't understand more. I don't know more. But I know that on the cross of Calvary, you died for my sin. You were buried and you're raised again. I come to you. And then Jesus said, do you know something? Anyone that comes into me, I will not send it away. Because we came to him and the people are coming to him because they are drawn by God the Father. It says, no one comes to me unless the Father is drawing him. Oh, I am not saved because I was good and I said, Lord, I come and I trust in you. No. I came to Christ because God the Father drew me. That it is how each individual of us came. It was that strong magnet of the love of God that drove us into the Lord Jesus Christ. We came to him and he said, I will not send you away. I'll save you. I will cleanse you. I will give you eternal life. And I will put in your heart the hope that someday you shall see me as I am. May the Lord bless and strengthen each and every one of you. May the Lord help us all to be faithful to him. It may be that he will come today. It will be much better. It may be that he will come tomorrow. That's not bad either. It may be that he will come 50 years from now. We are called to be faithful to him in spite of any difficulties. It may be that we will face some difficult times here in America. We are ready to go all the way down until the end. He is faithful. Let us be faithful. Let us love the Lord with all of our being. And when we meet each one on the street, when we talk on the phone, what it is our first conversation? Oh, you know that store there. Go there because they are cheap cherries and good apples. Let's stop doing that. You pick up the phone where you talk and you say, brother, sister, do you know what I read today? This is what this verse said. It's so wonderful. When we will be like that, we don't need to make any advertising for the church. The people will be attracted because they see your life. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. May the Lord bless and strengthen each and every one. Thank you.